The Record Spinning on KUOW Seattle. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. And Comcast provides more internet and cable service to more households than any other cable company in the United States. Here in Seattle, Comcast's contract is up for renewal. That's happening in 2016. But the city's seeking public comment now on what you want from your TV and internet service. Meanwhile, in the other Washington, Comcast is working to sell a $45 billion mega merger with Time Warner. And in an effort to clear some regulatory hurdles, the company announced earlier today they're going to sell off some of their cable systems to a competitor, that company's Charter Communications. Tony Roam is technology reporter for Politico. He told me the size of Comcast's merger with Time Warner cannot be overestimated.
We're talking about the number one cable company, Comcast, buying the number two largest cable operator, and that's Time Warner Cable. So already just in the cable business alone, this is a mega merger. But Comcast also has a pretty sizable broadband business, and this merger is going to give it access to millions and millions of more households across the country. And so to that end, Comcast has deployed what's basically an army of lobbyists here in Washington to sell the merger both to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Justice Department. And both of those agencies ultimately have to give the green light before Comcast can merge with Time Warner Cable.
Yeah, you report that they've got 80 lobbyists working on the deal. Who do they have to convince? You mentioned a little bit, but what's the story that they have to tell?
It's FCC and the Justice Department. Those are the two agencies that have to give the final blessing on the Comcast-Time Warner Cable deal. And beyond that, there's also Congress. Members of Congress don't have a final say in this. They don't get to decide whether Comcast can buy its competitor or not. But they'll hold plenty of hearings. They'll have much debate over this. And so Comcast has just really tapped these lobbyists, more than 80, as you point out, to talk about the benefits of the deal in cable and broadband. And they've got a lot of convincing to do. There are plenty of concerns about competition, about consumer choice, about the effect it could have on prices for broadband and cable, and members of Congress in particular have been pretty vocal about the deal and what it might mean for consumers.
Just on the antitrust side of things, how big is this merger compared to other mega corporate mergers?
So Comcast would say that in every major market where it's picking up subscribers from Time Warner Cable, is a market where consumers aren't losing a choice. You know, Comcast isn't already available in some of those places. But there are plenty of critics who say that's just not enough. And when you consider the fact that Comcast would gain so many millions of both cable and broadband customers, the fear is that it would just have too much market power to set everything from the costs of programming to the sort of set-top boxes that, you know, most consumers have in their home. So we'll hear a lot about that. We'll hear a huge war here in the other Washington, as you put it. Be more than a year before the federal government finally makes a decision.
You mentioned they're also making campaign contributions here and there to both parties. What is Comcast's strategy with that? How much is it going to cost them?
Comcast is a huge political player. You know, I dug into the numbers, and on the four congressional committees that largely regulate telecommunications issues, Comcast has given to all but a very, very small few of them. So all signs point to the fact that Comcast is going to continue to do this as this deal continues to make its way through the federal government and its formal review process. And the other thing to add, by the way, is this is two companies. Time Warner Cable also donates big to members. It also lobbies here in Washington. So huge, huge, well-moneyed forces here in D.C. trying to sell this merger.
Tony Roam writes for Politico, and he's telling us about Comcast lobbying efforts. The company's working hard to sell federal regulators on a $45 billion merger with Time Warner. And Tony, there's also money, of course, on the other side. Who in corporate America is worried about this Comcast-Time Warner merger?
You know, that's the question that opponents are asking. There are plenty of public interest groups like Public Knowledge and Free Press that are making a lot of noise about this deal and the potential for it to impact consumers and their pocketbooks and their choices for cable and broadband. But there aren't a lot of companies that have made noise. And that's partly a reflection of the fact that it's still early and partly because companies are still figuring it out. We do know that Netflix is not a fan. You know, the video and TV and movie streaming company, they've come out pretty vocal with their opposition because they think it could put a huge damper on services like what it offers, and it could continue to charge internet companies and threaten internet innovation. But short of them, we haven't heard too much. We're still waiting by and large to see who the opposition is going to be. For right now, Comcast and Time Warner Cable very much outspend their potential opponents.
And just specifically on that, you mentioned the Consumers Union, which represents the public's interest, essentially consumers. How much are they able to spend? How much clout do they have?
You know, Consumers Union and Public Knowledge and Free Press, they're very loud. They have lots of voices here in D.C. And Public Knowledge testified, for example, at that Senate antitrust hearing just shortly after the deal was announced. But beyond that, they're not a lobbying force. We're talking millions versus thousands here. We're talking about the fact that some of these consumer groups don't donate at all to members of Congress, whereas a Comcast and a Time Warner Cable can spend millions of dollars every election cycle, and they already have. So they're certainly outnumbered. The hope, if you're a Public Knowledge or if you're a Free Press, is that you can drum up the grassroots, you can get enough of a coalition together that collectively can make enough noise, and then you bring those concerns to the FCC and the Justice Department.
So if this merger goes through, yeah, there's a lot of money in it, and there might be concerns that folks would have kind of hypothetically, but how does it affect me as a cable or internet user?
We're waiting to hear exactly that. But opponents say it could potentially mean higher cable rates. They think it might mean fewer choices for broadband. But Comcast says, you know, it's good for consumers to, you know, have one company that's able to invest so heavily in innovation, that's willing to protect the open internet, although critics say that that's not the case here either. We're really still waiting to see what it means for consumers.
You're reporting from Washington, D.C., with all this money and political clout on the one side, on Time Warner's side, on Comcast's side. What are the chances that the deal goes through?
So analysts at the very beginning thought that there was a pretty decent chance that the Comcast-Time Warner cable deal would clear, but with conditions. The federal government would require Comcast to do a couple things to satisfy their competition or consumer concerns. The question is, does it, you know, pass the muster? Does the federal government give it the green light? And we probably won't know that for at least a year, if not more.
Hearing you talk about this just makes me think we don't really live in much of a democracy. It's more of like a oligopoly or a plutocracy. What's your perspective? I know you're an objective reporter, but what's your insight into that?
I think a lot of campaign finance experts would look at this deal and think it's exactly the sort of thing that they've been complaining about. If you're the kind of person who thinks that there's too much money in politics, the Comcast-Time Warner cable deal really illuminates that there might be too much money in politics, and that, you know, some of the folks at the very top levels of government have close connections to these companies. I mean, David Cohen, for instance, is one of the top government affairs folks at Comcast. He's an executive vice president, and he's helped raise money for President Barack Obama. There's a pretty close relationship between Comcast and the White House. So, you know, if you think that there's enough money here, you probably are going to look at this deal with a skeptical eye.
Tony Rahm's a technology reporter for Politico, and he's telling me earlier about Comcast's efforts to sell its $45 billion merger with Time Warner in the other Washington. Close to home, Comcast's contract is up for renewal. That's happening in 2016, but the city is actually holding public hearings now. They're also conducting a public survey to learn what you want from your TV and internet service. So that's an online survey. Well, we're going to have a link to that up on our website later today at kuow.org. You're listening to The Record on KUOW with Marcy Silman. I'm David Hyde.